Boys in the Huddle podcast. It's Ricky, Trey, and Joe. We're back for another episode. What's going on, fellas?
Oh, man, just enjoying this good weather. Eclipse, you know, my eyes feel good today. I don't know how they're going to feel tomorrow. I saw that, you know, today. So, yeah, man, let's go ahead and get this pod thing going tonight.
Yes, sir. Indeed. And Tay Boogie, you out in NYC, huh? Having you a good old
time. Yeah, you know, a little Tribeca, a little Manhattan, a little uptown. You know, we had to get the little Broadway. You know, trying to get a kiss, some culture, and also, you know, give them a little taste of the grind. Took them on the subway. My daughter was holding me tighter than she's ever held me before. It was good to remind her that she still needs her dad. But it was good, man. It was the phones was going crazy because there was an earthquake. But you didn't feel it in Manhattan. Mm. You felt it in Jersey and in Brooklyn apparently, but not in Manhattan. Although the Amber Alerts was going crazy all day. Yeah. But
I definitely felt it down there in Camden. I was at work. And I'm talking to a coworker, and sometimes the train shakes the building a little bit, but this was a little bit, you know, more prolonged. And I'm like, yo, I think we're having an earthquake. So the first thing I did was jump on Twitter, and sure enough, you start seeing it coming in. Yo, did we just have an earthquake in Jersey? Da, 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 da. So yeah, that's crazy. It's actually probably better that Mac didn't feel the earthquake while y'all was in New York, because she was already shell-shocked. So, you know, that probably wouldn't have been good.
I think you're right. But the first thing you did was go to Twitter. You didn't get under a desk or go to a stairwell or none of that. I don't know what the protocol is, but the first thing you did was go to Twitter.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't bugging. So yeah, it was go sit in my office, you know, let me check Twitter. All right, it happened. Let me call Sonny. Hey, Mac, you good? He picks up the phone. He's dead ass asleep in his bed.
All right. If you want to talk about an earthquake, let's talk about the damn South Carolina Lady Gamecocks. Congratulations to Dawn Staley and the Lady Gamecocks. Did y'all watch the game? That's the real question. Fuck a damn, no. Did you check Twitter? You didn't watch the game.
Yeah, no. Jesus Christ. I was out running around. Breweries and distilleries for me yesterday, man.
Damn, sports podcast and niggas don't watch sports. Jesus Christ.
Well. Okay. Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah,
nigga, to keep do?
It. I had a smart comment, man, but I'm going to keep it to myself, man. But yeah, okay. Women's basketball is sports too. So yeah.
Women's basketball had the highest ratings of all times just over this past week. So,
That's excellent.
The numbers are out of this world. I mean, they're beating out the Cotton Bowl. They're beating out the NBA Finals. They're beating out damn near every game, men or women, that we've seen in recent years. So, I'm astonished at what's been going on with these ladies, and it's been thrilling basketball. And you know, I'm a Gamecocks fan. I got my reasons, which I can get into. So Dawn almost made me cry. I ain't gonna lie. When she was crying, it might have been some onions cut in my crib.
Just I wish maybe. I was there. I would have said, "You're acting like a bitch right now, Q."
Hey. If it involves Dawn Staley, I don't care. I'm taking my tears.
I dig it. I definitely, when I was sitting at the, brewery for the end of the game, and I was in Philly. I was down Passyunk. It's a brewery down there, and everybody was clapping in there. You know, when they won, and they were showing Dawn up on the big screen. So you know, kudos to her.
North Philly. You know what I mean? And for me, that's why it's so, like, I feel like I have a connection to that lady, to that woman, because it's so many similarities. Like, Ron, you know, my family is from South Carolina. Like,
yes,
that's where we're from. Like, everybody has a southern state that's home. If you black, you have a southern state that is considered home. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yep, you got family, you got great aunts, you got grandparents, right. Definitely.
And we all know the reasons why, you know what I mean? We all know the reasons why. For me, it's South Carolina. And then my family moved to North Philadelphia. So in the '70s, the thing was, you know, back in the day was you move from the South up to the North because that's where the opportunity is. And the level of racism mm-hmm. that existed back then, people were trying to make that move. So, mm-hmm. you know, just that connection there, the fact that Dawn Staley's from North Philadelphia, she's coaching at the University of South Carolina. Those are my two homes. You know what I mean? Like South Carolina and North Philadelphia are my two homes. And some people may say, well, how you from Willingboro? I stayed in Willingboro, but I didn't have one family member in Willingboro. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So, you know, you end up developing and choosing and finding people that you call family. But any family event that we ever had, it was going to be in Philadelphia, North Philly to be exact, or in South Carolina. So, and she coached at the school I graduated from in Temple University. So, you know, I just have this affinity for her, and just her authenticity, you know, is really something that you have to appreciate. Mm-hmm. And the way yeah, she honors God at all times, you know, these things you don't always see every day. So proud of that team and what they were able to accomplish. She graduated five seniors last year, came back and won the whole thing. This wasn't a year where she was expected to do so. So again, some horns for Dawn Staley in the Gamecocks. But back to the ratings. The ratings were actually just through the roof. Like, I mean, they broke records game after game. The Iowa and LSU game broke the record from last year. They had 12.3 million viewers. Then we had UConn and Iowa. That was the most viewed game in ESPN history. Mind yeah. you, they've had the NBA since 2002. ESPN has playoff games, and they had 14 million viewers. And then yesterday's championship game had over 18 million viewers. That was up from 89% from the previous year. So I know we spoke last week about, you know, translating to the WNBA. Hearing these numbers, we all didn't really think that that was something that we foresaw. But hearing these numbers, has anyone's mind changed? Mind you, the common denominator in all of those games is Caitlin Clark. But has either one of your minds changed about this translating to the next level?
Well, I think if I remember, I think I was the more optimistic of the three of us in the first episode, last episode about that question.
Now, okay, now you're the most
optimistic. It's recorded.
Okay.
It's recorded.
Okay, no doubt.
We I think you and Ron was on the other side of this. I know you try to reinvent history.
Oh, is that right? Well, go ahead.
We're going right back to it.
Go ahead.
Shout out to Nick Foles.
Right? Exact shout out to Nick Foles. My guy.
Big but, stick, Nick. My guy. Well, go ahead.
But I think the question I think you asked on the last pod in connection with this was, do we think the viewership, because at the time it was Iowa versus LSU last year, it's like mm-hmm. 9 million views is the highest rated game or whatever
at that time,
and the question was at that time, and we were saying, you know, did we think the Final Four of the championship this year could eclipse that, and clearly they have. So there's a product where there's demand for it. And I say my position on it is the biggest challenge to the WNBA. I think they got the talent. They got the incoming rookies that have the branding and the notoriety, I think, to build some momentum. I just don't have an answer for the time of year in which to play. And that's where I think the biggest challenge. How do you take the interest in early April and keep that momentum to build it? When does the WNBA start? Like around Memorial Day? And I think that's what I said last pod. You're dealing with the summer seasons coming, people on vacation. I think the NBA would struggle if their season began around that time too. Probably not as hard, as difficult as the WNBA, but I think that there still is a challenge. Now,
I don't know about that. If the NBA had games in the summer when it's warm outside, of course, my favorite game to go to when it's warm out is baseball. But if there was options for NBA basketball, I would say that at least from an attendance standpoint, you wouldn't lose anything. Maybe from a viewership standpoint. But
you make your money off of viewers, right? I mean, more of the money comes from viewers.
That's valid.
You know what I'm saying? But I think to the point that I think it wouldn't be as hard of a hill to climb compared to the WNBA. But I think if they can sell rivalries, and I know you sent some stuff around, and there's some things we'll get to where it looks like that's where they're heading towards. If they could start selling rivalries in advance to keep building on the momentum of a Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and so on and so forth, then I mean they got a shot. They got a shot, but I don't know if they're going to get, you know, the 12 to 14 million views or whatever it was, or you said 18 million. I don't 18 know. 18 million. That's,
yeah.
I don't know if it's going to get to that. The last thing I'll say, I'll let y'all talk, is that, you know, this past season was the most I've heard about the WNBA in a long time. Like the way they're selling the Aces and the right, Liberty and right. people talking about going to see the Liberty at Madison Square Garden. That was like a thing last season. So, I mean, it got some momentum. We'll see. But I still stand with what I said last pod. I'm more optimistic about it. I think it's possible.
Of course it's possible. You know, we have to clearly be able to see that it's possible. But there's a lot of factors that people don't want to actually talk about that have to be talked about of why these things haven't translated in the past. It's not like Breonna Stewart wasn't popular. It's not like Sabrina wasn't popular. It's not like Candace Parker wasn't popular in the game of college basketball. And there's been high rated games in the past, you know, that people wanted to tune into because of the storyline. It's never translated. And you have to look at some of the reasons why it hasn't translated. Now, this isn't something people are going to want to hear or going to want to talk about. But families don't want to bring their children to WNBA games. When you're talking about capturing the casual fan and that middle America, there's a reason why they're hesitant to bring their family to a WNBA game. And I'll just come out right out and say it. It's because it's largely a LGBTQ. I believe I got them all in there. That's just the standard ones. We're not going for all the other ones. But it's black female, and it's largely lesbian women. And when you're talking about the conservative middle America, white America, who you're going to need to capture to bring in people. If Tommy don't stop texting this round, I'm gonna go crazy. But if you're talking about,
you could always turn your sound off, my brother.
I can't because you guys are connected to it.
Understood.
It is all, but you have to realize that there is a hesitation to bring the family to those games. And there was an article actually written by the Washington Post a few years ago, directly talking about that. So that has to be a real concern. I'm not going to say it's a concern, but it is a factor in why this doesn't always translate. When you're talking about college basketball, you're talking about a lot of these girls still figuring themselves out. You're talking about a lot of alumni and students to where they're backing their school, their state, their city, and it's kind of bigger than a lot of the players a lot of times. You know, it's about the history in the tradition of the school. Once these women become full-fledged women and they're really developing and finding out who they are, that changes a lot. And there's a lot of families that don't want to bring their children into that environment. Now, this was actually documented by a former player who believes that she was bullied because she was a heterosexual female. And says she was bullied by most of the women who are not heterosexual. Her statement was the WNBA is 98% lesbian and there's nothing but bullying and control that goes on to where a heterosexual female doesn't feel comfortable. And then they start to bring in a certain type of crowd that follows them based on that particular lifestyle. Now, again, I know this isn't something that people want to actually have a conversation about, but this does factor in. What are your thoughts on that statement, guys?
I'll let Tate speak on that one first. Go ahead, good brother.
I never thought about that. I mean, there could be some truth to that, right? I never thought about, I mean, it's interesting because it's obvious when you said it, but I just never thought about it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, you want to believe as a country, people's, you know, views and thought process, socially things are evolving, but clearly, and I'm not getting into politics, but clearly things have reverted into the opposite direction.
Right, right.
You know, post Obama,
right,
presidency, like stark contrast from where we were during his presidency. So, mm-hmm. I mean, there could be some validity to that. You know, it's funny. I had an opposite take, which was, you know, I was thinking that, you know, maybe pretty privilege on certain players has garnered more interest in the game. And I'm thinking specifically, like, I remember when all of the attention was on Notre Dame college basketball, figured out who Skylar Diggins was, right? You had different rappers profiling her. Lil Wayne was, that's right, it was there in person at games.
Right. So I have something for that, but go ahead.
Maybe that could be, you know, a step. I kind of alluded to that in the last pod. If you know, you see some of the stuff that Angel Reese is doing with their brands, where they're, you know, the athletes are leaning into things off the court that is more on the cosmetic side and things like that. So right. I thought maybe that could be an angle where they could broaden interest for the sport. But again, somebody who's grown up, you know, Philadelphia, New Jersey area, Northeast area, where, you know, more liberal on certain things. Like, I don't think about Middle America and some of the conservative views that might limit right. viewership in those areas.
Right. It doesn't have to just be Middle America, but, you know, just conservatives in general that are about, they don't want their children. You know, this whole stuff now about Florida and Disney and, you know, LGBTQ stuff in movies and, you know, that whole culture war battle, that's going to play a part in the WNBA as well. And you mentioned Skylar Diggins, who, great point. I used to love Skylar Diggins. That was the first time I really saw, like, a really pretty girl. Not to say that there weren't pretty girls before him, but I didn't see him. I wasn't tuning in. But she was just like, yeah, you play basketball? Like, the first time you seen her, like, you're like, yo, she bad, like real bad. But that goes to this point of being a heterosexual female. You know how they've treated her since she's gotten pregnant? Like, they don't even allow her to use the facilities because they think she's damaged goods. She thought about retiring multiple times because the way she was treated when she got pregnant, where the ownership disowned her. So these are things that you have to really think about and factor in. And we think about the NBA and who they like to push, right? They like to push married heterosexual men, which, you know, 99% of them claim to be. But if you have to be a married heterosexual male in order for the league to get behind you. Michael Jordan, LeBron, Kobe had his issues, but he was married. There's a certain type of brand of person they're going to want to have to push as the face of their league. Now, can Caitlin Clark do that? Yes, because she is a heterosexual female. She has a boyfriend. And, you know, that can all be branded. That can all be branded. But what happens when Caitlin Clark says, I'd rather be a mother than play basketball right now, right? I mean, these things are possibilities that you have to try to factor in. So, again, everybody thinks it's just going to organically happen where it's going to go from 18 million viewers in a national championship game to say, let's try to get, you know, 30-40% of that translate to the WNBA. There's a lot of different factors that play into this. And if they don't come up with a game plan and be strategic, then they're going to lose their best shot at this translating and this working. Now, again, people don't want to have the conversation. People are going to probably say, oh, what is he talking about? He don't have the business talking about that. But these are real things. And we even see with, like, Kim Mulkey, apparently she's a homophobe in that story that came out in the Washington Post. And I think the LA Times wrote something about her as well. She's coaches women's college basketball, where, yes, you can call it a stereotype if you want, but largely the stigma is there's a large majority of the females that are lesbian females. And she treats those players differently, according to the report, especially when they leave. After she done used them up and she got everything that she can get out of them, she don't want nothing to do with them. She throws them away. So it's a different atmosphere in college than it's going to be when you become a professional. And now you got to sell your brand to a different demographic. And I don't think people are really wanting to have that conversation. That is one reason why it does not translate. Ron, what do you think?
So I think what you're saying, you know, on the surface, it makes sense. But I think the other part of that is that these, you know, parents typically, you know, you can see certain things in your kids, right? So you see them earlier than others, you know, and now whether or not you admit it to yourself, so to speak, right? That's a whole nother thing. But I don't know, again, what you're saying makes sense, but I don't know that I fully agree with that, because, you know, I think that if your daughter has a love for sports, right, then, you know, you have to understand that is a part that may come with it. You know, so
yeah, but I'm not saying again, it has anything to do with the actual child. There's going to be the parents that prevent their child from that exposure for those.
Yeah,
reasons.
But what I'm saying is, you know, and again, we're talking about a specific class of people, or a specific subset of people. But I think that if you know that your daughter loves sports, then there's a very high chance that there are going to be people on her team that may not, you know, that may not follow the rules of the land that you like, you know, but in supporting your kid, right, you overlook that. So I don't think that, I don't necessarily know that a parent is going to say, hey, my kid really likes basketball, but I'm not going to take her to a game because there are black lesbians playing on the court.
Well, I don't think it has anything to do with, you know, in the youth arena. You know, parents have no problem with their kids getting involved in sports. But when it comes to who they look up to, they do want to try to control that. And if the WNBA right. doesn't have a female that is, you know, the traditional personification, you know, married white female, which Caitlin Clark is, there's a lot of parents that are not going to. Let's just take a step back. We all know who, back in the day at least, who was the number one consumer of hip hop music. It was white female girls, but they didn't need their parents' permission to go ahead and buy that CD. But you're going to go ahead, you're going to probably need them to take you to the game. So there's going to be the intrigue there, but parents try to control what their kids are exposed to. And if the person that they're going to the game to go see isn't the Caitlin Clark of the world, it's more so, you know, Brittany Griner is the person that they look up to. A certain demographic of people who you need to sell to is going to have that reluctancy in allowing. And again, this is maybe not my natural thought, but there was an article that was written by the Washington Post a few years ago pointing to this exactly. And it was a turnoff for families to be at WNBA games. And again, I'm probably going to get massacred for this, but this is something people don't want to talk about. This plays into the league actually being able to grow. And like I said, with Skylar Diggins, she decided she wanted to have a couple of kids. And then the actual organization pretty much banned her from all the facilities. Like,
But that touches on a whole nother issue that's above and that's bigger than the WNBA. You're talking about females dealing with being pregnancy at work and some of the challenges that
right, but women they're heterosexual females that want to become mothers. Your body changes after you have a baby, and the organization thought she was damaged goods at that point. So that
Hold on, I want to be clear though. It don't have to be, if we're going to talk about it, we got to be technically right about it. It doesn't have to be heterosexual women that have the kids either, right? It could be, no, you know, there's a whole,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, so it's take the this sexuality.
This is true, but we don't, but we don't have any examples of that in the WNBA. So I get what you're saying, but yeah,
I mean, there might be though. There might be. I don't know that's it. I don't know that there's not, but you know, continue talking about Skylar. I'm saying that point about Skylar, I think, is bigger than just the WNBA. Women are dealing with that across multiple industries.
Right. Right. But more so in sports though, Tay, because your body changes when you have a child. Of course, I've never had a child, but that is clearly like a general statement that people can stamp and say, yes, that's true. You have to work yourself back into shape to another level, and you may not ever be in that shape you were prior to having that child. So what I'm saying is the ownership of remember the owner in Atlanta that they had to oust? Again, we're talking Atlanta, but we had this racist white woman running the organization. She don't give a shit about them players. She doesn't have any type of real sympathy or a flexibility in her thought. To her, I own this shit and I own you. So y'all gonna do what I say until they made a stand. But how many other owners do we have like that? Why would you want to buy a WNBA franchise prior to today's age where we see the ratings? Now those things may change a bit, but it's something they have to address, because if a woman gets pregnant, you can't just say we're going to throw her away and not give her access and not treat her like she's part of the family. And then also, if there is bullying going on with, you know, heterosexual females, and this, again, this is Candace Wiggins, a former player who came out and made these statements. This is how she felt. She said 98% of the women are lesbians, and she felt bullied throughout, and it had an effect on her game, and she attributed that to her being a heterosexual female. Now, if that is a real thing,
gave it up.
No, it's there's a thing. I remember there was a girl for the Aces, I think Derica Hamby, something like that, because I think Becky Hammond, the coach of the Aces, got caught up in. There was like a lawsuit where she filed, she got pregnant, then she got traded.
Yeah.
And she filed a lawsuit calling an abusive and hostile work environment and alleged it was like a retaliation from the coach.
Right.
And the NBA, WNBA had to have a investigation and everything. I don't know exactly where that landed, but I think that was around the time when Skylar was also dealing with, you know, her setbacks and challenges of trying to come back and contemplating retirement. So no, it is, I mean, it is a thing for sure.
It's a real thing.
I wonder if it's in every professional sport for women that are going through that, or if it's just isolated in the WNBA. That would be something interesting to research on and see what kind of what we find there. But I mean, it's a physical sport, and so I get the conflict, although I think it's wrong. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's a couple women.
And to be clear, I do think it's wrong, but we have to live in a reality of where we are today. You know, how much shit happens to me that I think is wrong, but I have to face reality. You know what I mean? Just being a black man in corporate America, a lot of shit happens to me that I know is wrong and I think is wrong, but it is the reality that we live in. So these are things that these are questions that people have to try to have a conversation around and really face, because this is the time. If it's ever going to translate, this is going to be the time for it to translate. And if they don't figure some of these things out, the league isn't going to be able to grow. And we want it to grow. You know, what happened this weekend is going to do tremendous things for young girls. That's the thing that I'm most excited about, especially young black girls. I mean, they got Sexy Red blaring in their damn heads all damn day. And Sukiana, whatever her name is. I mean, we need something to balance this shit out. So now if they can look up the Juju Watkins and Paige Beckers and all these girls that are coming up, and they want to focus on something more than free my nigga, then that's a good thing, because we need some balance. Because the whole
hey, Ron, did you see Sexy Red in the notes this morning that he passed out?
You know how I feel about Sexy Red.
But some kind of way, she always finds her way into these
because
conversations.
She's destroying,
and that's not sports,
she's
but
destroying the minds of the black women. And the fact that we have positive black women that we're seeing, not even just black women, women in general, doing something positive. Sports is a discipline where it's going to teach you a lot of life lessons where you can't just be out there hoeing. The hoeing is at another level right now. The girls in the 30 hoe way different than we remember hoeing. And I'm just, this is the truth. So the fact that they could have something to focus on rather than the sexy reds blaring in their face. And all of them, all these female raps, they talk of the same thing as programming. They're programming these females to act a certain way. So I love the fact what happened in women's college basketball. I want it to translate. But I have my doubts still because of certain
just
things.
Just to wrap it up, I think that it's going to be the most interesting part of all of the college basketball over the last few weeks is to see, you know, what happens this summer with the WNBA. I think that's going to be the tried and true test to see if this was just a flash in the pan or if it's actually sustainable. So, you know, that's going to be the part that's going to be interesting.
For women's college, I don't think it's a flash in the pan. They still have storylines. They still have Juju Watkins. They still have Paige. You know, they're still going to have South Carolina and Dawn Staley to have storylines around. LSU now with Kim Mulkey, a lot of people don't like her. She's a villain. So there's always going to be those storylines they can play on within the college game. But here's an example. The Women's World Cup, like the Women's USA soccer team, wildly popular when that season comes around. When it's time for the World Cups and the Olympics, wildly popular, more popular than the men's. But when's the last time you ever heard anybody going to a women's league, professional soccer league? When's the last time you've heard of a women's professional soccer league even shown on ESPN or being talked about? So when you're behind a country, you're behind a school, a state, the dynamics are different. But has that translated, and it's just from a women's soccer standpoint, has that translated to the women's soccer professional league? Not to my knowledge.
Well, I don't think that's a fair question because we don't live in a, I mean, we don't care about the men's soccer league here in Philadelphia. You know, so
but it's gained in popularity. Soccer's not that popular in America, period. But what I'm saying is, name me one franchise from the women's professional soccer league. It didn't translate.
I can only name you, yeah, but I can only name you one from the men's soccer league, the Philadelphia Union. So, you know, I don't think that, you know, I understand, but I think that it's a stretch. You know what I'm saying? That's not to say that. Well, I'm telling you why it is.
Women's professional soccer is not popular, nigga.
And neither is fucking men's professional soccer. It's not popular, period. We're talking about, cricket.
Olympics isn't popular. The men's Olympics, the women are. That's my point. It didn't translate to anything outside of that. That's my point.
But what I'm saying is, we're talking of, so right, the it translates from the standpoint of these young girls, right, that come out here to these camps and they can meet what's the girl from Del Ran, Carly Lloyd, right? So or Zach Ertz's wife or what have you. So from that standpoint, right, it gets these kids, these young girls, into the game. Now as far beautiful. As us adult, say it again.
No, that's beautiful. Yes.
Yeah. But now as far as the pros, right, it's not the same thing, right? The World Cup comes around, what, every 4 years or whatever it is, right? The Olympics, same thing. So
I think every 2 years. So you got the World Cup 2 years and the Olympics the next 2 years. So, yeah. But
yeah. So yeah. But so what I'm saying is that it's whatever it is, that's not sustainable on an everyday or every week basis, especially in a country where we don't value soccer. That's not our thing.
But Ron, you know, so, everyone's tuned in to the women's soccer when the World Cup or Olympics come around. So why does that translate? Why doesn't that translate?
You're not, hold on.
Because it doesn't, everything doesn't have to translate. There's nothing to translate.
Right.
There.
That's the my point that, with the W with the women's college game and the WNBA. So we're saying the same thing. So are we not saying the same thing?
No, yeah, I don't think so.
I guess what I'm saying is that, and I think I heard what Ron was saying and agree with him, which is that the example for soccer is that the country rallies behind soccer when it's in a format that's country, right? And you have some success for the women where they've achieved higher success, much higher success than the men, and that has translated to the country being more prone to follow women's soccer, at least on like a country level, an Olympic or World Cup format, more so than the men. But in both examples, the men's league or the women's professional league, it just hasn't been a lot of demand because soccer is probably a fifth or sixth highest sport in the U.S. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what Ron is saying, and I agree with that. How does that compare to your point about the WNBA's relationship with women's college basketball?
Because it's the same thing. Because you're getting behind a country, right, when it comes to soccer. In college sports, you're getting behind a state or a school. Prime example, I live in North Carolina. In North Carolina, you have to choose either Duke or UNC.
UNC.
You know how many people went to those schools? Damn near none of them. When I first came here years ago, I lived in Greensboro. People would like get excited about the UNC game. Even my cousin recently during Easter, he's a Duke fan. No, he's a UNC fan. So when Duke was playing NC State, he was hoping Duke lost. He didn't go to North Carolina. But that's the thing here. And that's the same thing in a lot of these other states, whether it's Louisiana, Florida. You know, we're talking North Carolina. There's something about the pride of your state and that tradition that outweighs the actual game sometimes, where people who aren't going to usually tune in to the college game because it's bigger than the sport. You're representing my state, and I've chosen you as my team to follow. Similar to, I'm backing you because you are USA. That's not necessarily translating to professionals.
But the backing you because you're USA, that happens once or that happens every 2 years or every 4 years, right? So that's a small time frame. With college sports, this happens every year, right? And then if I like this player and she's going to play in the WNBA, then I can watch her there as well, right? So it's comparing apples to oranges.
I think the underlying challenges are different, which is why I don't necessarily like the comparison. Because the underlying challenges between comparing the WNBA to women's major league soccer, like the drivers for demand are just different.
Right. Way different. They're not in the same ballpark.
If you really enjoy the women's soccer, right? Because it's getting wild ratings during that time frame. You would want to see more of it, right? No matter who
they're
playing.
Yeah, but you're watching soccer. But your point is they're watching soccer every 2 years and every 4 years for other reasons that are outside of just soccer.
That's what I'm saying about college basketball. It's outside of Remember, Ron, you said before you have to be a purist? You think all these people tuning into college basketball for women's are purists? It's bigger than the game a lot of times. It's about
tradition. That's the reason. That's the only reason why they got views this over the past few weeks.
Right.
It's because it's not fully about the game.
Exactly.
It's about everything else surrounding it. But there's nothing on Twitter that's going around saying, hey, did you see this rivalry between, you know, these two female soccer players?
And there's nothing on Twitter, right? And there's nothing on Twitter that's going to be really talking about this rivalry in the WNBA because who are the rivals? Who are the rivals? Unless they strategically plan it, like we talked about last time with Magic and Bird, the way the NBA did. Unless they strategically plan it, it's not going to organically happen. That's my larger point here. It's not going to just automatically translate.
Do you think that? Because what was interesting about Caitlin, I think she's become polarizing for a multitude of reasons. One, she's nice, right? And then you got people that
super nice
are drawing racial lines to either credit or discredit her. I'm not one of those.
Right.
I think she's nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have what's unique about her. I don't know if I've ever seen this before, but you've seen, you know, kind of older veterans or people that are retired find ways to also criticize her.
Oh, they hating on her big time.
Right. And so maybe there's a, and I think that's ridiculous, by the way, but like, I think maybe there is a way to create more demand. Maybe she steps in and she's got a target on her back from the league, from all of the, you know, veterans in the league, to where she could sell out town to town every time she's in there if there's another opposing player, you know, that is hating on her, right? Maybe there's a way to market that. That's a lot to put on her, but
it's a lot to there's put a on way her. To, yes.
There's a way. There's a way, but I mean, in a league where you're trying to get momentum, to be sustainable, to get people to translate from watching from college, maybe there's an angle where they can really dig into that. And I mean, Sabrina's nice, right? And you got the Aces, Kelly Plume, all of them, they nice. Like, so as more talent enters the league with Caitlin and all these other players, Angel Reese and them, you know, maybe there's more rivalries that can naturally develop.
But it has to be a plan. That's all I'm saying, Tay. It's not going to automatically or organically happen. It has to be a strategic plan that the WNBA comes up with. And if they don't do it, they're going to drop the damn ball.
And I think you're right, but maybe you've seen that. Like, one of the things, and I don't want to jump ahead, and you sent it around, but one of the things you sent around I thought was interesting is you said the Aces are already advertising when they play Indiana, right? And they're marketing it.
They're moving it to the T-Mobile Arena to get a larger crowd. So that's strategy. Yes.
That's strategy, right? Strategy. So maybe more teams will start to recognize what Caitlin truly is and really lean into that. Because it's going to be more, I mean, we all like Juju. 3 years from now, I mean, who knows how many records Juju's going to take, but she's going to be the next one up. And there's probably some players we don't know yet that's going to be the next one up that may create the same level of intrigue and demand. I think Caitlin did. Caitlin was such an enigma, partly because she is white from Iowa too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that is a part of it.
Her game
spoke for herself, and you know, she transcended the game in the moment in which she played. So I don't know. I forgot where we were going with the original topic, but I think mainly
if it's going to translate. And again, some of these things, you know, I saw the Washington Post article. That did trigger a thought for me. You know, I've never been to a WNBA game. I have been to a women's Final Four game years ago when it was in Greensboro. There was nobody there. There was nobody there. The tickets were free.
But you could have left it at Q with a hair. You didn't have to share the details. The
tickets were free. And it was when Rutgers was playing. I don't even remember who Rutgers was playing, but it was a Vivian Stringer.
Yes.
Vivian Green.
She was coaching. No, you're not.
Yeah,
not
that's an emotional roller coaster.
Nah, I'm just about to say that. But there was nobody there. It was sad. But times have changed. And it's beautiful to see. It's going to have a great effect on young girls. Now they're going to aspire to be the Juju Watkins of the world, and that's going to have a positive impact. I'm still unsure if it's going to translate because there's mechanisms involved that people don't want to talk about. Even Jason Whitlock, who none of us ever agree with, you know, he said Caitlin Clark need to come back for another year, get $20 million NIL, and then retire and have a good life with her husband and run some basketball camps and make money that way. Because the WNBA is kind of a mess. Just the way they've treated players, just the way they've operated, is kind of a mess. And largely because a lot of times these owners haven't cared about it. It's probably a damn tax write-off up until this point.
It's a subsidy. Yeah.
So I'm hoping that, you know, some of the things we talked about, some of the things I've said, I'm hoping that I'm wrong. But one thing we do know is the Butches are more aggressive than any nigga you'll ever find. And we found that with Candace Parker started out as a heterosexual female married with kids. They got to her. Cheryl Swoop started out as a heterosexual female with kids. They got to her. So this is some truth to this shit. I mean, let's keep it real.
That's one man's truth.
These are facts.
It's not indicative of the entire huddle.
These are facts. Make
sure,
we're running
a two-man huddle. But and make sure you include the link in the bio of this episode of that Washington Post article so people can understand, you know, where some of these research views are coming from. We didn't just come off the top. So I think including that in the bio so people can access it and get their own opinions would be helpful.
Man, we can do that.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure it probably doesn't say like these butches is mad fucking thirsty. I'm sure it doesn't say that.
He didn't say that. But we know that to be a fact, nigga, please.
I didn't even know what he meant by that. It was a new term. I wrote it down. Nigga, it's not in my vocab, bro.
I just looked it up. Urban Dictionary.
Urban Dictionary? Yes. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I just found it. Yeah.
Y'all not going to be teaming up on me like this. Fuck that.
Salute to all the queens out there.
Salute to all the queens.
Hey, you know what I mean? Shout out. Love you, Ron does. Yeah.
Shout out to Dawn Staley.
That's true.
Gamecocks, baby. Beautiful.
That is peace.
That was a great weekend of women's basketball. I'm hoping it translates. But people got to have real conversations. No more horn for Dawn. We love you, baby. Big T's. I need to meet her. We need to have a conversation. This South Carolina, North Philly connection. But we're going to interview Big T's before we get to Dawn because we need to learn his story about being a college football coach and that journey. That's a hell of a journey. So we're going to get Big T's on here soon enough. But kind of relevant to this is, you know, these girls are actually leaving school. You know, Angel Reese says she's coming out. We know Caitlin Clark is coming out. Cardosa in South Carolina says she's coming out. And I'm not going to lie, I'm confused. It has to be something that I am missing. And I'm going to pass it to you guys to see what your thoughts are. But one of the things that's confusing to me is the TV contract is up this year. It gets renewed in 2025. So if the game is growing, as they think it is, why wouldn't you stay one more year, get your NIL money, wait for the new TV deal where the salaries will grow, and then come out then? Do they not have the right people around them? Did they not fully? I'm confused of why Angel Reese, even a Caitlin Clark, a Cardosa would come out right now making $76,000 as a salary when you can wait a year and probably lock in more money in a longer term. Maybe I'm missing something, but what do you guys think about these girls announcing that they're going to come out to the WNBA? Is it just because it was just always a dream of theirs? I mean, what do y'all think?
I think a couple of things. One is that, I mean, I know we live in a society built on capitalism and it's all about the money, but it could be just they've accomplished, and I'm talking about last episode, they've accomplished everything they set out to accomplish in college basketball. Like for Caitlin Clark to come back, what's she really coming back for? To try, I guess, to win an NCAA championship?
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal.
Win?
But
the reality of it is she's accomplished every other record she could ever set out to achieve. And, I mean, playing USA basketball and going pro and what's absent from our conversation, again, is the money they can probably make overseas. When you weigh that and being in the classroom and then going back into the collegiate system, we've accomplished so much. Maybe we're just looking at it wrong.
But, Tay, if you sign a rookie deal that I know at least in the NBA is a 3-4 year deal that you're locked into, you're going to make your money from NIL more than ever now. Why not wait a year? But
we keep equating the WNBA with the NBA, which I think is a false equivalence. Women make their money overseas more than the WNBA, right?
But that WNBA salary.
Isn't the WNBA kind of, it's not, I mean, it's a goal, but it's not like the biggest monetary goal for them to make money still, right? I mean, they still make more of their bread overseas.
And that may be true, but if you can, but the times have changed. Before, if you weren't going to make no money, then I get it. But the fact that you probably, if you're a Caitlin Clark, come back for another year. Now, the Jason Whitlock statement of $20 million might have been a bit high. She could probably bring in 10. Angel Reese could probably bring in 4 or 5. And why not do that and wait to see how this TV deal and the CBA plays itself out? Because Now, if the rookies that are coming in next year are making $200,000 over the next 3 or 4 years, to me, it doesn't make sense. It's no different than
Andrew.
No, it's
one
no
thing
different.
I was going to. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead, too.
No, it's no different than, you know, LeBron and KD and those guys. They'll always give themselves an option because they know the CBA or TV deal is coming up. So they know that the salary cap is going to increase, which is going to allow them to make more money. So they always allow themselves flexibility. I think this is a similar situation where, you know, the game is growing. We are hoping that it gets to the point where the viewership translates. Why not wait a year and see if that initial salary is going to increase, maybe exponentially? We don't know. But to me, that's the right business move. And tell you a business nigga. You don't think that makes sense? Not to say you're not a business nigga either, Ron, but you know.
I think.
Take out all the money.
That's not true.
It is true.
That's not true. I'm trying to file tax. I'm trying to file taxes now. It's
I
not
did mine last night. It was a nightmare. You remember back God in the day when you knew you were getting a refund, so you did them in like January the 2nd? I just did. I wait forever now. I ain't got a refund in fucking years. But I know you ain't getting a refund, nigga.
You know, disrespect, straight disrespect. No, it's when you start learning about taxes and then you don't talk about it no more because you be saying too much. That was Tooth halfway through what he was just talking about just now, realizing he can't say too much about it. Taxes can be painful, but it's all good. Trump is coming back. Trump is coming back. No, I'm just kidding. the one thing too is like, I mean, I guess like in Angel Reese's situation, she's also kind of graduated with a degree, right? So I guess what about some of these athletes that have already finished, you know, their academic curriculum and have gotten degrees? Because a lot of them are seniors with an extra year of eligibility because of the COVID year, right? So I guess what are we asking them to come back to if they finished the real thing that you're supposed to? I mean, I know it's a business, but I mean, it is academic.
It's a business
academia,
decision,
right?
It's a, but
so what
you,
are they
coming?
What are we coming
decision,
back? What are we coming back asking them to do if they don't? If they say, "Look, I finished everything on the court. I got the degree that I set forth on. I'm ready to move on." We're saying it's a business decision. Stay, wait it out, and take less meaningful classes. Like, what are we saying?
It's strictly a business decision. Caitlin Clark gets to try one more time to see if she can win a national championship. Angel Reese can come back to see if she can get another one. Everybody still wants to add to their resume, and you're going to make money doing it. And oh, by the way, we can wait to see what's going to happen with this TV deal. We might make $1 million a year if we wait one more year with our WNBA salary. You don't know.
So now I could be remiss in saying this, you know, obviously I don't know the facts or anything like that, but I wonder if specifically in Caitlin Clark's position, you know, if she has agents that are, you know, actively talking with the WNBA as a whole and saying, hey, we're coming out, but we want to go into this and potentially have a 1-year deal.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know if I thought about that too. Can they just do a 1-year deal? I don't, because in NBA you can't.
Right.
But I don't know.
Yeah. Right. So if she comes out and benefits the league, which by all accounts, right, there's going to be all her first game wherever she plays is going to be must see TV. Right. They're going to set it up on the schedule to where her first game is going to be against Angel Reese's team, their first game. That has to happen. So they're going to do that. They're going to get major eyes that first weekend in May. And then from there, you know, at that point, it's a show and prove, you know, but I'd have to imagine that these conversations between her people and the WNBA as a whole have already taken place. You know, right. I'm sure that, you know, you have a person like, and I know, you know, you're not necessarily a fan of his, but he is a businessman. So I'm sure that, you know, somebody like LeBron has either gotten contact with her or their peoples have spoken and hey, look, this is on the horizon. So, you know, you may want to make sure that you try to write some language into your contract that you're signing.
All right, nigga. You know? I highly doubt LeBron's people are talking to Caitlin.
It may not be them reaching.
I don't know. But
yeah, because it may not be, you know, them reaching out to her.
Yeah, I hear you, Ty.
You know, but more so her reaching out to them.
Right.
You know, so, but yeah, again, I'd be very surprised, and in actuality, it would be dumb as hell if they didn't have those conversations, because we're, you know, three guys that don't play women's basketball, and we're having the conversation. So, you know, that would be foolish of them not to.
And you know, me and Tay had talked about this. I don't know if you were involved in the conversation, Ron, but you know, probably three niggas shouldn't be talking about this alone. I think you were a part of the conversation. I had somebody involved where my cousin's a psychologist. He's a sports fan. And, you know, if it makes sense to bring her in just to have a female perspective, you know, I would love to do that as well, because we'll get a little bit of flack about, you know, some of the topics that were discussed or how they were discussed. But, you know, this is Boys in the Huddle.
You said we?
We, nigga. Shit. Oh, this is Boys in the Huddle. All
right. Three-man weed.
But let's go. We need to try to wrap things up. I'm going to skip the Bronny thing. You know, it is what it is. I don't agree with it. Prove yourself on the court, nigga. Cut the shit. You want to try to force your way into the league? Nobody's going to respect that. But we're not going to focus on his ass too much. We're going to see how that plays out, and maybe we revisit it at another time. Really quick, Angel Reese specifically says she's going to come out into the WNBA draft. She got a lot of flack from different people about how she responded to losing to Iowa after proclaiming herself as the villain. You know, I think the dude from FS1 had said something and he got attacked, Joy Taylor, and different people had a lot to say about it. Kerry Champion and Jamel Hill. You know,
the usual suspects.
Here's what I'm going to say. One of my favorite quotes from Nipsey Hussle is, never let a hard time, you know, never get humbled by a hard time. And what that really means is always be who you say you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're going to talk your shit, if you're going to be the big bad wolf, once things don't go your way, you got to keep talking your shit and being the big bad wolf. And if you want equality as, you know, an athlete, that's not something we really like to see. And we can even equate this to the J. Cole thing, that he came out and apologized, asked for forgiveness for a fucking the Kendrick Lamar diss. He's getting the flack that he deserves. Because, you came out time and on you that. Dissed him. And now you're trying to take it back. So you're going to get flack on that. So no different really with Angel Reese. You proclaimed yourself as the villain. Now you lost. And now you want people to have some kind of sympathy for you. No, keep talking your shit, girl. Prime example, this is a boxer named Chris Culver. He always has colored hair when he's in the ring. He be talking mad shit. He got his ass whooped in the ring. After the fight, he said, nah, nigga, fuck you. Let's run that shit back. What's up? He got his ass. It was like he got his ass whooped. They had to stop the fight. In a post interview, he still was popping his shit and said he wanted another one. Don't let a hard time humble you. Be who you say you are. And the fact that she didn't do that and now wants to come out. If you had one, you wouldn't have been talking about your story about not being happy and not having no peace. You got all kinds of money off of being the big bad wolf. So that's just my thoughts on that. I just don't like, male or female, if you're going to dish it, you got to be able to take it and be who you say you are. What are your thoughts?
I think it's pretty simple. I mean, that's just a life lesson. You know, that's just a life lesson. You know, you got to, you know, if you're able to stand up and take the praise, well, then you have to be able to stand up and take it when they're kicking you in the ass. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's not a basketball. And I think that that's why, just to pivot a little bit, I think that that's the reason why sports is so great, especially for, you know, young people, you know, when you're putting your kids in sports, the thought isn't or shouldn't be, I want my kid to play baseball, basketball, football, soccer, because I want them to go to a league. It's all of the lessons that you learn. Sports is a way to teach life lessons, mm-hmm. you know, and right. and the what sports teaches you is that you have to be humble at all times. And if you choose to not be humble and you want to talk shit, then you have to understand that when that person over there in front of you is whooping your ass and he just put up 50 on you, that you got to be able to take it with a smile. Now, what you do with it afterwards when you leave, that's your business. But in that arena, you have to be able to take it and essentially you have to be Ray Allen. Your face has to look the same whether you just scored 30 or you scored 2. You know, so I think that's kind of where she, you know, where she's getting taught a lesson, you know, and unfortunately, in this lifetime, when you get taught lessons and you're a public figure, those lessons are taught online and the teaching doesn't stop.
Right.
The teaching doesn't stop. So you can't get away from it. You can't run from it. And at a certain point, what you have to do is either you turn it off or you embrace it. But again, that's the reason why I love sports. And I've always said that sports is a microcosm of the world and it's a way to teach life lessons.
Right.
So, you know, right. she's learning a lesson. Unfortunately, it's in the public. But, you know, to what do they say? To who much is given, you know, much is expected, you know. So it is what it is.
Indeed. Tay, what do you think?
And Ron killed that. I think the only thing I'm going to add to it is I'll look at it like if the shoe is on the other foot and Caitlin would have lost this game and been, you know, emotional and crying at the press conference and leaned into feeling like she was some type of victim, although I don't think she embraced being a villain necessarily, but let's just say she handled losing in the same manner.
Mm-hmm.
How would all of the supporters of Angel in that moment that moved the goalposts and made the discussion deeper and bigger and more than what it really was in that particular moment, right? Right. What would have been the discussion then?
Right.
You know, the same people that jumped to her defense, like, I mean, how would an Angel have reacted? I've gone back and forth between I don't like her, I like her. I think I land on I like Angel more than I dislike her. But I like her more now because I'm hopeful, to Ron's point, that she can actually learn from this experience and will adjust and be humble and all of these things so that when she deals with adversity again, she doesn't have a world against me mentality and then immediately play into the victim. Now, she's had some foul shit, short said foul about her online, and nobody's taken away from that. But mm-hmm. she has taunted people when she was on the winning side of a battle. Mm-hmm. And the moment that she loses to the team that she defeated last year, she was emotional and crying and then made it seem like the villain thing was put on her by everyone except herself. So right. like she lacked accountability. And the thing that was disappointing, and this is why I say I like her, is like, look, she's still young. But the part that was disappointing was all of the other people that are older, you know, more seasoned and could have been helpful, much like the ones that you see today. The J. Cole supporters, there's a lot of people that say, no, J. Cole's wrong. Even like his most heaviest supporters, like, no, he's wrong.
Right.
People were not doing that, you know, with Angel. People were not right. recognizing
right.
two things can be true. I can be objective and critical of how Angel handled it in this moment, but still love and support her. It was like, you got to be on a side.
Right.
We got to stop mm-hmm. doing that.
Right.
As people.
Yes.
I hate
right,
great
right,
point.
Right.
Great point.
I hate
hell
it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we always say 2, 3, 4 things can be true. It doesn't have to be an either
yes.
or thing. And the only yeah. way to help any of these young athletes to take it off an Angel is to just be objective and don't hesitate to be respectful, but you can be critical and with a critique, it can be teachable.
Right.
You know?
Hey, look, so I'm going to give y'all a quote that Quincy Jones said. So this is, you know, years ago, I remember I was watching the Quincy Jones documentary, and you know, y'all know Quincy's an entertaining dude, man. Coolest cat. You know, you can't even say a cool dude. You got to say cool cat. You know, he's a cool cat. And he said, and I passed this on to Sonny, he said, you don't take criticisms from people that you wouldn't take advice from. And that's heavy. Like, that's a real heavy thing, you know. So, and I say that to say that, you know, you and being in a position where you're in front of the camera, right, and everything that you do is going to be scrutinized, you have to learn how to pick and choose, you know, what you're listening to, because you have the ability to pick and choose what you take in. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So with choosing what you take in, you also have the ability to choose what you put out, you know. So the right. things that you put out, you're opening yourself up to those criticisms. Now, how you take the criticisms and what you do with them, that's your business. You know, but again, it, you know, we like Tay said, we got to keep in mind that these are young people that are coming into this and they're trying to figure the world out, and they're going to make mistakes along the way. You know, so
and that girl from South Carolina responded perfectly, right? I forget her name, but Dawn's teaching them, right? She was the girl that was, you know, playing amazing defense yesterday and had all these steals against Caitlin, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she was the same girl a year ago. Caitlin just waved mm-hmm. her off, right? And
Raven Johnson. Raven Johnson.
Raven, thank you.
Shout out.
Raven Johnson.
Shout out to Raven.
An amazing example of how you deal with adversity, you channel it, and you come back mm-hmm. bigger and better and get revenge the right mm-hmm. way. She didn't cry about it. She didn't pout about it. But she said, hey, I didn't like when she was waving me off. It felt disrespectful. Worked on her game and took that challenge in the championship game and played amazing defense on Caitlin to shut her down after she was hot. You know, in a portion of the game, she guarded her and had a couple, 3 or 4 steals on her, clean, too.
Right.
And that's
right.
how you respond.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to wrap it up with that one. Angel Reese, you know, like I said, I appreciate the authenticity of her, and I want her mm-hmm. to win, but there's no crying in basketball. You're going to be the villain. Be the villain. Be who you say you are. And don't let a hard time humble you. Mm. Moving on. We're bringing it back. The Sucker or OG segment. First one. Recently, Kobe Bryant's parents sold one of his championship rings for over $900,000. Now, I believe that actually caused some of the rift between him and his parents initially. I believe initially it was just, you know, the fact that he wanted to marry Vanessa. They were against it, but then they had sold some of his memorabilia. Rest in peace to Kobe Bryant and Gigi. But the fact that they've now sold his ring for $900,000. Sucker or OG move. Dante, we're going to start with you.
I don't like it, but I mean, the reality of it is we don't know. I'll say sucker move, but that's without knowledge of the circumstances. You know, did they have to sell it? Were they in some type of hardship? I don't know the relationship they had with Vanessa, and are they financially struggling? We don't know these things, right? But I'll say if they're not struggling, then I hate to see them sell it.
My understanding is they got left with nothing.
Yeah.
So you have to factor that in. If that is the case, that rift, and it's terrible to hear that never got reconciled or resolved. And to the very end, which I'm sure none of them expected it to be the end, there was no relationship there. And we see Vanessa with Kobe's sister and her kids, and the relationship seems to be intact there, which we're all happy to see. But with the actual parents, Joe Jelly Bean and his wife, it was never reconciled. And I'm sure they feel the hurt of losing their son. But if there's a situation where, you know, they are hard up for funds, did not receive anything through the Bryant estate, I'm sure they didn't get that ring recently. Maybe it's something that they've always had.
They did. Kobe gave it to them after his, I believe it was his first championship.
Okay. I'm not going to say it's an OG move, and I'm not going to say it's a sucker move. I'm going to call it a push. Yo, I'm going to call it a push.
If push is an option, then it's a push.
I think this is the first time we did a push. Is this the first time we did it? So we got to stamp it one or another.
We do.
That's what your rules was. I think it's a push.
This is the first time we're going to allow. This is the first and only time we're going to allow for a push. Good. We're going to allow for a push.
This is how I know that today was a special day in history with this eclipse thing, because me and Toos agree. I literally was going to say that I know what the rules are, but I can't pick, right? Because you don't know what they're going through. And, you know, they didn't have a good relationship in life, you know, so they stood true to, I guess, what it is. But we'll just leave it at that. RIP, Big Jelly Bean. You know what I'm saying? Kobe Bean Bryant, man. RIP.
Indeed.
And GG.
And GG. RIP. So we're going to call that a push. This is the one time in the Sucker OG Move segment we're going to call something a push. And it's only right. Next one. Mike Tyson and Logan Paul. Excuse me, Jake Paul, have decided to enter into a match July on Netflix. Mike Tyson is 57 years old. Jake Paul is 27 years old. They might make $50 to $100 million a piece off of this. I'm a boxing fan. I'm a boxing enthusiast. I'm going to go out of the way and say, as LeBron would, I'm a boxing historian. You know, he thinks he's
aficionado, if you will.
He thinks he's a hip-hop historian, which he's not. I'm a boxing historian. Is this a Sucker OG move by Mike Tyson and Jake Paul? Because I got so many mixed reviews, because we're all going to watch it. We see the clips of Mike hitting the damn pads and doing the... But I need to see Mike running 5 miles before I think this should happen. And the way Mike be walking now, he got this little hitch with his walk. I don't know if this thing should be going on. Dante, Sucker OG move with this Jake Paul Mike Tyson matchup.
I'm probably not going to watch it, actually. I don't have any interest, though. Like, the thing about this fight that I don't like is that, like, what if Mike gets hurt? And what's that going to do to the culture if Jake
Paul... The niggas got to go after Jake Paul. They got, like, to send niggas after Jake.
It's over. We can't have an upcoming election with Trump happening right after Jake Paul knocks out Mike Tyson. So this is bad. I mean, I'm happy Mike's found a way to secure a bag.
Mike don't need the money, though. That's the thing. I don't think Mike needs the money. Jake Paul don't need the money. What is this shit?
I mean, you said it's 50 M's each, though?
They might make 50 to 100. It all depends on what Netflix is giving them, because this isn't pay-per-view. Netflix is showing this shit for the free if you got a subscription. So you can expect your Netflix subscription is about to go up. You can expect that, because they got to pay Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. But the 50 to 100 million is probably in the range of what they would sign up. In order to sign up to do this, I think that's the range. We've seen Floyd made with Conor McGregor. I think Floyd made over 200. McGregor made close to 100. So I think they're thinking that they can make something similar. So, yeah, of course you want to get the bag, but what are the rules to this shit? They still haven't really given us a ton of information. Are they wearing headgear? Do they already have a plan to where, a lot of times in these exhibition fights, there's a no knockout rule where you really aren't supposed to try to knock the other person out, or you could lose money. So I think there's going to be parameters in this shit, but once you're in that ring, you don't know what's going to happen. And just me personally, I'm saying it's a sucker move. I don't like it, because honestly, right now, Jake Paul can fuck around and knock Mike Tyson out. And nobody wants to see that shit.
It's a sucker move if Mike gets knocked out. But if Mike knocks out Jake Paul and gets 50 to 100 M's, it's OG.
Nah, nigga. No, you got to pick one. See, we just ain't no. See, you just tried to do a push. We just made one exception for the push.
Oh, sucker, man. Well, OG. I'll go sucker, because Mike represents so much more. And you think of Mike, you think of boxing. You know, he's the people's champ. So, you know, I didn't like when Floyd did this when he was fighting These exhibition fights, and, you know, kickboxer Asian kid, he fought that one time. Like, when they start doing these things for the money, it devalues the sport, and the sport's what made them,
right?
You know, the sport is what made them famous, right? So, you know, we don't want to see AI in the big three or with the Harlem Globetrotters, right? I mean, it's just, that would look nasty.
AI tried the big three. He lasted like two games.
Yeah, he said it's enough with this bullshit. Go call Caitlin. I think that honestly, it's an OG move. And it's only an OG move because this is fucking boxing. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what's real. You don't know what's going to happen. Every time there's a boxing match, you know, one could say that the fix might be in. So this is nothing more than what boxing has been ever since we've ever heard of the name Don King. So it's an OG move. This is on brand.
You just good with the money grab.
Mike better not get knocked out. He better not get knocked out, man.
I honestly think they have an agreement in place. Similar to when Mike fought Roy. They weren't really trying to kill each other. You know, Jake Paul is actually trying to be a legitimate fighter. At least he says he is. So I don't know how he goes in there and tries to take it easy on Mike. And then that sounds crazy, right? Jake Paul taking it easy on Mike and shit. But Mike Tyson's 57 years old. He could barely walk. That's what I'm saying. I need to see some clips of Mike doing some road work, putting in 5 to 7 miles. If I don't see that, I don't like this shit at all. At all.
That Mike did look decent against Roy Jones compared to Roy Jones. Like, Mike looked better than Roy Jones
He did. And they called that a draw. But that was planned. Mike won the fight, you know, if you want to pick a winner. But they made it a draw just because that was probably always a part of the plan in the contract. So, I wouldn't be surprised if there's something similar here. They're trying to get a money grab. Some people may call that an OG move, but you know, I'm a Mike Tyson. You know, Mike Tyson's my guy, man. Like, he's making money in all type of different arenas now, you know, marijuana, you know, edibles, and you know, his brand is always going to make money. So, you know, but if you can get $50 to $100 million, you know, you can't necessarily hate on that. But again, I'm a boxing fan. I'm a boxing enthusiast, a boxing historian. So, for the sport itself, I don't like it. So I'm still going to stamp it a sucker move. Last one. Sent you guys a clip.
Nigga.
There's a clip going viral of an alleged NBA player getting his hair cut. And he's bald all throughout the middle like he's George Jefferson. R.I.P. to Sherman Hemsley. But then he's got the man unit, as Mr. Cat Williams would say. He's got a man unit, as he tried to point out with Steve Harvey. But they're saying this is a famous NBA player. He's got his face covered as he's getting a haircut. And he's putting on the hair piece as if he's got a fresh one right out the barbershop naturally. For one, who do you think it is? For two, just in general, when guys do that in this day and age, is it acceptable or is it a sucker move? That nigga looked like Tyrese Halliburton to me. That's who I saw when they were showing that clip. Tyrese Halliburton is like, what, 25 maybe? 24, 20? But I know niggas that didn't lost their hair early on, so it's possible. It could happen. To me, it looked like Tyrese Halliburton. I'm going to wait for your response to see if it's a sucker move in general. Ron, you're first.
Nigga, you're not getting one. We are not wasting 6 minutes on some nigga that posted something, you know what I'm saying? And he got all of the conversation that he wanted. That's not an NBA player. That's number one.
Maybe it's not. Crazy. Maybe it's not. But if it would look like one, who do you think it would be from what you saw?
No, I'm not doing that. But what I will say is, cool. You know what I'm saying? What I am going to say is, yo, them niggas work miracles with that fucking, with that hair strap piece thing.
It's a man like, unit.
I was hoping that you said that like that one more time. If you're if you're playing Cat Williams bingo today, you just hit twice. Yeah, nah, they worked magic with that. Like, I remember the first time I seen that, and I was like, yo, this is bugged out. But them niggas really really get to it. So
shit is crazy.
You know, Lord willing, I don't ever, you know, I don't have to indulge in that. But I don't know that I might not think about it on a vacation, you know. I might, you know, I might want to go to Punta Cana. I might want to switch it up and you know, get me some.
Don't get in the water then, nigga. Don't get in the water.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know what I'm saying? That's true. I'm only going up to my hips. You know what I'm saying? Only up to my hips with a beer in my hand and shit. But yeah, nah. So with that being said, yeah, that's not an NBA player, and I'm not even going to fucking give that any energy. Say, go.
So, you know, I'm always very careful to criticize another man who's some adversity with hair.
So no doubt.
I'm not, you know, as someone who has more of a beard these days. My barber spends more time on my beard than the actual haircut. I'm not going to criticize this brother. I'm looking at it and say, damn, if he can bring me back to, say, 2003, baby, I might have to keep my options open.
And you got the money to do it. Daddy Warbucks.
Uncle Sam, stop him.
You got the money to do it, Big Daddy Warbucks.
It's not true. I, it looked like, you know, the NBA player, I thought it might be. I'll put a name on it. It looked to me like either Anthony, what's the dude, Anthony Simmons?
Anthony Simons.
Or one of the ball kids, maybe.
A lot of the comments were saying they thought it was CJ McCollum.
Yeah, I saw that.
I didn't
too.
See that so
I
much.
Didn't see CJ, but maybe yeah. I saw, it, it's if it had. Yeah, I mean, I saw Tatum and Devin Booker in there.
Yeah,
I don't
Devin
know.
Booker.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a Tatum. Tatum got like a little curly fro. So that, I saw those comments too. That didn't make no sense.
It wasn't Tatum or I didn't think it was Tatum or and Booker's pretty really light skinned, so I don't think this was Booker's complexion. But
right.
I don't know. I mean, listen, I'm gonna say, man, I'm not knocking what anybody is doing out here in these streets to hold on to it. You know what I mean? And I'm
so
not.
You're saying
you,
it's
God
an OG
you.
Move. You're saying it's an OG move.
Oh, am I saying there's a hair transplant?
The man
OG
unit.
Move?
The man unit is an OG move. That's what you're saying.
Publicly, I'm saying it's a sucker move because you gotta let it go, baby. Privately, I'm doing my Googles to understand more. Understand, yo, you know what it is? I would never do it because it looks so crazy when they give you the Sherman Helmsley, like, and then they put the glue on your shit.
Yeah, and it's also like, niggas done seen you for fucking years now, and then now you gonna pop up with the fucking wavy Jalen Rose or whatever you want to, like, come on, you're gonna look crazy. Can't do
you don't
it.
Come around them. You don't. You gotta get a whole set of new niggas. It's a new me, man.
Word.
I don't know you
out with the old and with the new.
So you would be willing to dismiss all of your friends for a straight up Sharpie with the waves flowing.
Just... Hey, yesterday is over. My wife and kids better act right.
Yo, yesterday's price is not today's price.
You see the line up on that? Shit is sharp, man.
Oh man.
Nah. But it's a sucker move. I can't do that shit.
But I understand what you're saying. Is at least it does. You do give it a thought. As niggas get older, my shit is starting. I got a little something from my man Randall B that's reviving my shit a little bit. So I might not need it. But yeah, I'm not going to hate on someone that goes that route unless his name is LeBron James. Because you got too much money. Who cares what your hair looks like, you bitch ass nigga? But, you know, regular nigga. Wants to, you know, throw back the hands of time, get back out here in these streets. I'm not going to hate on him, but it's still a sucker move. It's a sucker move because I would never do it. I would never actually do it, but I wouldn't totally hate on somebody that makes that move, but it's still a sucker move. So it's being stamped. Is this across the board a sucker move?
I've stamped a sucker move for sure.
Okay. The man unit is officially stamped a sucker move by the huddle. You niggas need to start just fucking being old. It ain't that damn serious.
It ain't, man. You know what I'm saying? I got my grades coming in. I'm never going to die. You know what I'm saying? Full head of hair. The waves is on spin. You feel me?
Go Burn. Ahead, though. And to LeBron. Shots fired, you bitch ass nigga. You got too much money.
Oh, my God. Oh my God! Where else except for the huddle can you try to break the women's sports? You know what I'm saying?
I didn't try to break no women's.
No,
sports.
I'm not saying the shit that you were saying. I'm saying we're sitting here trying to fix women's sports problems, and at the same time, we telling niggas they can't have man units and shit. You know what I'm
you
saying?
Can't.
We cover all bases. I'm just saying we cover all bases here, man. You know what I'm saying? Sexy Red she gets shot in the crossfire. You
she
know
might
what I'm
get
LeBron,
hit every
the
week.
Hate is always coming.
Sexy
clearly,
Red might get
clearly.
Hit every week because it's programming. These girls out here
Save it for the next one.
I mean,
yeah.
I had a story.
No, it's fine.
And I'm just going to give it a brief story. I met this girl, right? DJ Ace, the homie. Shout out to Artie Dobson. You know, we've known him since we never met him type of shit. You know what I mean? He just always mm-hmm. was. Shout out to the homie. Mm-hmm. So he invites me to the Jeezy concert. He's Jeezy's DJ, been Jeezy's DJ for years. And as I'm coming out of the concert, you know, he got me on stage and shit right there watching the whole show. This girl comes up to me asking me, can she use my phone? And I'm like, for what? But she bad. She bad as a motherfucker. So I know I'm headed to the after party where I'm going to be, you know, in the VIP area with GZ or the BMF niggas. Shout out to BMF Wavy, one of the BMF niggas out here in Charlotte. Cool nigga. And I'm like, all right, just get in the car with me. We're going to the after party. Like, you can't use my phone because her phone had died. I said, you can charge your phone, you know, as we go to the after party if you want to go. So the whole time she's telling me how she's a college student at UNC Charlotte and she's a computer science major. Long story short, come to find out she's out here hoeing for money. That's what I'm saying with the Sexy Red shit. You got college students hoeing for money now. Like, what if you are out here hoeing and you got a future person that might get you a job out here? Like, she's like, I got to get that coin. I'm just like, this shit is fucking crazy out here. So that's why.
I mean, that's not new. That is not new, nigga.
You never had no college. You didn't have no college students out here hoeing like that. Not for money.
You didn't go to college.
Not for money, nigga. This chick was charging $1,000, nigga. A college student with a
computer. She got it right. Shit.
And nobody was paying. $1,000 for a computer science major. Like, I could see if you was a fucking, I'm not going to even go there, but. Computer science, you're going to have a good career. You're going to make something of yourself. You out here hoeing like that?
I seen girls getting picked up off campus from rappers. I seen girls working at Magic City and Strokers.
Right.
All those top strip clubs at that time. Like,
that's Atlanta. Atlanta's different, nigga. This is Charlotte.
That's what I said. You ain't go to school in Atlanta. Like, the part-time student, part-time hoeing been around forever.
But then they don't want to consider themselves an actual prostitute. Like, you call her a prostitute, she try to turn up on you. Like, it's just crazy out here. It's the Sexy Red effect. That's why I'm happy about the Juju Walkers. We're going to flip it and we're going to end it. The Juju Walkers, the Paige Beckers, the Caitlin Clarks, the Cardosos, the Tessa Johnsons. That's who these girls need to be aspiring to. and we're so happy.
Well, some of these bitches ain't athletic, so go out there and get your coin, shorty whipwop. Go get it.
Nigga,
right?
Please stop it. Your son is in college with these type of girls, and he better be.
Oh, and oh, trust me, he ain't. Oh, come on. I can't. I won't even do it. Next pod. He said, Dad. He told me, hey, and then we can close this thing. He said, he hit me the other night. He said, Dad, I'm at this probate. He said, all the sororities is out here. He said, I didn't even know it was this many women of color on this campus. I said, well, son, there's only two rules. Enjoy yourself and be safe. Emphasis on the second part. Be safe. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So
and don't give him a damn dime. Shit.
No,
it's disgusting.
No. Shit, he might have woke up that because the next morning was the damn earthquake. You know what I'm saying? He said he had a long night, so he might have been up with a computer science major. Who knows?
And on that note, either they don't know, don't show, or don't care about what's going on in the huddle. We're gonna see y'all next time. Peace.
Word. Good game, Cam.